In our study of the Gospel of John, you remember, over 3 years have gone by. He's only within less than a handful of fingers before he goes to the cross. And it's his last major miracle, as it were, his sign. All these miracles were given that they might believe that he is who he is. He always is who he is. And therefore, in the process, remember now, without Lazarus has died, Mary and Martha are looking to, they have buried him, the people are mourning 7 days, etc. After the burial, he's been dead, buried 4 days. And in the process, they are wailing and weeping as normal in mourning, and especially in the Near East as it is done. Now, in the light of that, we share together that the Lord is going to react to the weeping and the wailing, verse 33. Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her. Remember now, Martha goes and gets Mary. Mary leaves the Bethany, the house, heads out to the outskirts of the village where the Lord is, and the Jewish people in the house and around the house that are mourning follow her. So they're all there, outside the village, as it were. Then when Jesus therefore saw, verse 33, her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And we share together the weeping there is a wailing, a crying out, a lamenting. And it was being known they'd have, even then and in the Near East, you have professional mourners, and you pay them. And they come and cry out and moan. That's what lament, that's what they do. As to show the sorrow and loss. Now that's what they're doing, and the Lord Jesus Christ, they shared together, reacted. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And we shared together that he groaned, he roared, it means to roar. To growl, to roar, to deep anger within himself. And this anger, this terrible roaring in his spirit, to be so disturbed, so moved, to storm with anger, displeasure, indignation, etc. And what's he doing? And remember, we share together with the Word that we looked at. If you went to Lamentations 2:6, you would find what? You would find, if you went there, that the Lord Jesus, looking at Jerusalem, in Nebuchadnezzar has leveled the city, leveled the temple, and the Lord is expressing, it is an expression, visible expression of the Lord's anger, his indignation. And anger, that's the word you have here. So it isn't it's a word of being disturbed, bothered, to say the least. Roaring, deep anger. Very troubled. And the word troubled, which is there in verse 33. Remember the waters, John chapter 5, the waters and the pool. We're troubled. They're all riled up. The waves, the storm, as it were. The waters are in turmoil. That's the word trouble. To be agitated. To put into commotion. Alarm. The alarm of the mind. And not far away, it's easy. John chapter 12, if you would, in verse 27, just to see the word and to get the flavor of the word. Not only is he angry in himself, but he is troubled. He is greatly put into commotion. And you'll see the word in chapter 12, verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I, there's the word. What shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour, But for this cause came I into the world. So he's looking at going to the cross. He's looking to go to the cross. He's going to have to go to the garden and the cross. And he's going to go and have to carry your sin and mine in his own sinless body. He's going to take that which alienates us and keeps us out of God's grace and mercy. And he's going to go and experience that. He's going to experience, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In his perfect humanity, he's going to be in his wonderful deity. God is going to back off. And he is going to be like the average person in a way, without God. Knowing God, without him. Well, that's what sin is. Sin is death. Death is the absence of God, the absence of life. He's going to die on Calvary's cross. He's going to die spiritually, separation from God. He's going to die physically in his body. The wages of sin is death. And so the word, back over to chapter 11. He was troubled. And remember, in this trouble we share together, that's so that we do not need to be troubled. In my Father's house are many abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. Therefore, let not your heart be troubled. So God, you groaned, you were angry, you were all riled up, you were troubled very much indeed in what you were doing. And our Lord's reaction to the hostile influence, which is what he's doing. The hostile influence that has infected the people. It has infected them. And why are you, Mary, you're a winner, but you're losing. You have been captured and conquered by the system. And you're following the same line of thinking. That's why you're wailing. That's why you're there as we share together, as she fell down at his feet. Martha didn't do that. She did. She's flunked out. She knows she flunked out. Martha doesn't do that. Martha has a different kind of problem, setting. But Mary does. Mary, you're a casualty. And all those Jews with you are all doing the same thing. They're all, and keep in mind, in case we forget, Bethany was a home, a place where the priests that practiced in Jerusalem lived. So you can bet your boots, here we are in Bethany. You can bet your, there's a lot of those people at that, in that morning, in that funeral, a priest. Mary was very popular in her town. She was one of the figures, the host. She was there. Wow. So here they all are there. And in the process of that, the setting, the leaders, have so seduced the mind and heart and so led them, blind leading the blind in unbelief. And there they are, and they are totally rejecting our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, keep that in mind. And so all his person, all his words, all his works, all his miracles, all the Old Testament prophecy and prediction and promises, where are all of those things? But the Jews have put them in a category and put them on shelves, that they don't need to deal with them or understand them. And there they are, in the midst of having all kinds of understanding, they are in ignorance. Having all kinds of things to be able to see, they see not. Wow. And the wonderful truths of Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, born in Bethlehem of Judea, the seed of the woman, not the seed of the man. My man, Adam, sinned willfully. It's the seed of the woman. And that's why the seed of the woman is then, because Adam, at the seed, when she conceives in Bethlehem of Judea, it isn't by a human man, it's by the Spirit of God. The seed of the woman. Now, so here they are looking in the process, and Christ the Messiah should be known, should be understood. He said, I am that I am that I am that I am. And did they listen? No, they didn't listen. And we shared that in, you aren't far away to do that one just a little, John chapter 10. And in verse 33, remember, they found it extremely difficult for God in his marvelous awesomeness to be a man like us. 10:33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou being a man, makest thyself God. So they had no problem. The Jewish people understood very clearly, very simply. There wasn't a question of not understanding. They used that, but they understood that he said he was God clearly, and they understood that. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and remember now that the blind leading one other place where you hear, over to chapter 9, and in verse 39, remembering now, because you're going to pick it up in a little bit here, the blind man was given sight, and they had a real problem coming to grips with that. And they did everything under the sun. The blind man, who has been blind from birth, could see. And how are you going to deny that? You can't deny that. You can't get away from that. Now, did Jesus Christ heal him? No, we're going to have some other solution. We don't care how off it is, it can't be Jesus healed them, because that would make him who he is. And therefore they denied that. And therefore, in chapter 9, verse 39, Jesus said, for judgment am I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees, which were with him, heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And yes, they were. And Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. You wouldn't be using your arguments that you're using. The blind man didn't use any arguments. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth, you're blind. You're blind in your unbelief. Now, that needs to keep that in the forefront, their unbelief, their awesome unbelief. And in the process, they're going and in the movement, remember it's an unbelieving, hostile environment. You have to understand that. Definitely hostile. And in the process, here's Mary wailing, and they're wailing, and you know what? They're standing, wailing. She's at his feet, in front of him. And the people standing, wailing, and lamenting, are waiting to kill him. They're waiting to kill him. Wow. And to boot, what else? Hear their moaning and groaning and great, the mockery of their sorrow. Mockery. What are they doing? They're crying for the loss, the moaning that Lazarus has died. All hypocrisy. Because they're waiting to kill him. When he comes out, they're going to kill him. Lazarus, not just the Lord. They've got to get rid of Lazarus. They want to kill Lazarus. Lazarus is, here's the hypocrites. All the people mourning and groaning. And from where? From an earthly point of view, totally rejecting that he is the I am. I am the resurrection and the life. And the environment is not good. And therefore we come, as it were, in the process of this. And the darkness, the power of darkness, we read it in Isaiah 53. They just couldn't that's why Isaiah 53 isn't understood by the normal Jewish rabbi, because they can't accept it for being a person. If it's a person, then it's the Messiah. If the Messiah, and it's a person, the Messiah had to die. If Messiah had to die, then we should understand who he is and why he died, why he came to die. And we should understand that. But we don't want to understand Isaiah 53. We don't want to understand that he had to go to the cross. He had to become human then. We don't want to know that. We don't want to think about those things. And so in the process, chapter 11 and in verse 19, etc., many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary. Remember verse 31. Now the Jews which were with her in the house, and we went one verse after another to show you that the whole surrounding are the Jewish people. In particular, there has to be the priest there. And are they influenced? They're going to kill Jesus. That's what they're going to do. And that's their whole intent. And they're standing in front of the Lord, wailing and moaning, having no understanding that he is the I am that I am. And therefore, in the process, people under the influence of this darkness, Mary, Martha, the disciples, God's resolve, God's wonderful resolve to restore what sin and death have taken away, what has robbed the people and ruined them. And God, in your wonderful humanity, you're going to go and do wonderful things. Do they understand? No, they'd just as soon kill you. And they just as soon kill Lazarus. Once they see him walking around, they can't have him walking around. He'd be a testimony to that, and everyone knows, so we got to get rid of him. So here we are, and Lord, you're going to do what you're going to do because you're committed to do it. You roll up your sleeves, Isaiah 59. You roll up your sleeves. There was no one to pay the price. No one able to save. And you rolled up your sleeves and born, a word became, John 1:14. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. So God, you did something. And you told the disciples ever so wonderfully, over if you would to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And he, verse 21 again, Matthew 16 and 21. Picking up if I can. And you'll notice, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto them, 16:21, show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. Do you see the little word in the middle, M-U-S-T? M-U-S-T. That is the verb, to bind with chains. To bind somebody with chains. To tie them. To harness them. It's a little impersonal verb. It is compulsory. It is absolutely bound. I'm bound to go to that cross. Bound, like being in chains. Wow. So God, you had a commitment, and those dear people are in the they understand that? Not in the least. Not in the least. They're going to, but not yet. Now, having said that, back over if you would, please. I need you to go back there. It will help us again. Matthew chapter 23. Because you need to understand the setting. If you don't, you won't understand the anger and the troubled heart. When the people he died for, including the priest, with all of that, are rejecting what he's going to do on the cross. They're rejecting that. God, awesome. You're going to step into humanity. Low humanity, beneath angels, that's right. You're going to step into that and die for the sins of the world. And they don't care 2 cents of the cost and the loss, as it were, for God to become man. More than that, for God to suffer death, the terrible death of hanging on Calvary's cross. Wow, for 6 hours. Wow. Now, so here's Matthew chapter 23, and we share together, you get the atmosphere, he said it very clearly, and I'm not going to do all that we did last time, but just get you to get the sense of it. Do you see in verse 13, 23:13, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Now, and we, if we keep reading, I'm not going to read it all because we did it, a little bit of it. Not only are they hypocrites, 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 hypocrites. The word hypocrite means to reply, to give an answer. You answer. It means to say something back. Thus it's used of a person saying something back to another. A part used on a stage, and thus we have the word actor, an actor, an actor. Playing the part. Hypocrites. Playing the part. You aren't real. You aren't right. You're all wrong. Hypocrites, 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 hypocrites. He's angered and troubled at the response now. And not only that, we shared together in chapter 23, verse 17. Ye fools and blind. Verse 19, you fools and blind. And again, keep going in the chapter. Verse 25, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, etc. Thou blind Pharisee. Verse 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Verse 29, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Wow, that's what they are from start to finish. Now, if someone said that much, would you think that would convince you that they must be hypocrites? And they must be blind, leaders of the blind. There's no way to walk away from this. And how terrible is it? It's so terrible, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you keep saying it over and over again, Lord. It must be horrible. It is. It's robbing, ruining. And here's Martha, here's Mary wailing. What's she wailing for? Because she's caught up in the system. She doesn't even know the people that are around her that say, we love you, we care. That's a bunch of baloney for the most part. It doesn't mean a thing. We have all kinds of sorrow and comforters. But when it's all done, they did nothing for us. They left us in our ignorance. And we end up blind, the blind following the blind. So here they are now, in the light of that. In the light of that, if you would. And thus, and you know where that goes, don't you? That the blind, it's idolatry. That's what it is, hypocrites, idolatry. We're putting something or someone else to the front and center on the stage, as it were, and the stage of life, and then we're looking at the stage of life as we play the game of life and death. We play the game, and people watch the government and politics and everything else and friends and religions and philosophies, and we're playing the game, and the stage is set, and people are reading and applauding and approving. Over, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. And you would recall, Where does all this idolatry come from? This hypocrite, this playing the part, presenting something other than what should be. A game, a stage, not reality. You want reality, walk down the street and look at the people and see them, see the world as it is, as it really is. So now, Ezekiel, remember now, all idolatry comes out of humans. So idolatry is an offense to God, angers God. Chapter 14, Ezekiel, picking up please, verse 3. Son of man, these men, the elders, verse 1, have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired at all by them? Therefore speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, verse 4, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols where? In his heart, and putteth a stumbling block, making other people miss out the acting, the playing the game on the stage of life, stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I the Lord will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. Sliding down to verse 7. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols, where? In his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. All of these people were coming and giving a different view of God. What are you doing, Mary? Are you helping the people understand Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ? Nope. And here's all these Jews out to get him, hypocrites, standing there doing that. And what are they doing? They're essentially setting themselves up in their heart, and whatever system, Judaism, whatever it was, setting it up in their life as an idol that we are Jews. That's true. And Hebrews, that's a wonderful thing, actually. Now, in the light of that, so here's the hypocrites, and remember now, think of Hollywood, if you would, and Hollywood acting, stage, all of that, and right or wrong, and Hollywood entertains the world. What's it entertain the world? It entertains, and we get heroes and like sports, so Hollywood, and they entertain. And the guy, someone, Batman, Superman, somebody, the Lone Ranger. Anyway, up they are, and they do whatever, and they do it. They're good guys, and they're there, and they get the bad guys, and they use guns. They use guns to get them. And they go out and get them, and they get the bad guys. Everyone's there. And they do that. And then they finish the film and go home. And they have to live with the realities of life, just like you do. But we don't see that. All we saw is what they presented. That's all we saw. We didn't see them with the drugs, the alcohol, their death. We didn't see that. Wow. So God, are you angry? I am angry. And you are troubled. You are definitely in commotion. No question about it. God, and you're going to go to the cross just like that. Absolutely, I'm going to the cross. Now, in the light of that, over if you would please, back over to John chapter 11. In John chapter 11. And I'm going to have you just turn the page, I think. John chapter 12 and verse 10. I'm doing that just to support. I want you to know they're going to try to kill Lazarus, the very one they're mourning about. It's a false mockery of sorrow. Chapter 12, John, verse 10. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also, what? To death. That's what they want to do. So all the stuff, yay, but when it comes down, whoops, we don't want that. And they, whatever. Now, here we are in John chapter 11. And in the process of that, angry. Now, and here they, if you just picture, here's the Lord standing there. Here's the 12 disciples, apostles, anyway, at least that. And here they are. And here's the town people coming out, Bethany. And here's Martha standing next to him. And here's Mary down at his feet. Here's all these Jews standing around there, out there, moaning and wailing and crying out in out there. And here he is, and he's reacting in anger, and he's moved with commotion. He is definitely not a happy camper looking at this. It's a terrible situation, a big hypocritical setting in a very hostile kind of way to kill. Wow. So now, here we are, and therefore, and now, the Lord has got to finish. He's did that part. And they're standing there. And so they're all mourning. So God, you got to distract them. You got to go and get their attention. You got to stop them because you got to move it. Let's move. The Lord said, let's move this along now. And thus, verse 34, he said, where have you laid him? Where did you put him? Now, what does that do? That distracts them. And how much so? They're all mourning and doing, and you can see how easily they can be distracted. And distracted, and he said, and they said, well, where is the grave? Where's the grave? And immediately, they said, verse 34, unto him, Lord, come, it's a command, come and see. And they got their attention. He got them distracted. So they're now going to go to see the grave. And that's something, to see the grave and see where they put Lazarus. And to get them to do that. And that got them distracted from their little setting that they were in. And so therefore, all their energy is fired up to go and to show, to go and to show and identify with Lazarus themselves, and now they want the Lord to identify with the grave site where Lazarus is placed. Now, in the process of that, then you have the little words, Jesus wept. Now, that isn't the shortest, it's the same size as in 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore is the shortest verse in the Bible, not this one. Jesus wept has three words. Rejoice evermore has two words. Jesus wept has 16 letters. Rejoice evermore, I think, is 14 letters. So the shortest verse, if someone tries to trick you, you know. So you'll have the answer. Now, I knew you wanted that of all things that you need. Now, thus, John chapter 11, Jesus wept. He wept. Now, that's an awesome thing. And we're going to try to take it a little bit best we can. The word weep means a tear which flows down from the eyes. And it's briny, a salty briny. Tears are salty, very salty. Tears, salt, brine. Salty tears coming down the eyes. And flowing down. So his tears are dropping from his eyes. And they start dropping. Here's the setting. And now they come and see. They're all excited now. They're all riled up. They were all wrong a minute ago when they were looking, and he was angered and troubled. Now, he says, let's go, I'm going to help you some more. And when he said, come and see, they changed their mood, and they proceeded to go to to lead him to the tomb, to the gravesite. And here's the people, high one minute over here, the next minute over here. And you're looking. Now, Lord, what did you do? The tears started to flow from his eyes. Not wailing, it's not that word. Tears started to flow. Simple tears. I get them, you get them. Drop down your eyes. Wow. Now, having dropped down their eyes and looking, and here he is, the tears flowing. And remember, well, without doing all of those things that the woman who was forgiven, washed his feet with her tears, fell down from her, and she took her hair and washed his feet with her tears. And she was forgiven, the Lord said. She was forgiven much. And she responded much. Lord, here's the tears flowing. Here are your tears. Here's the woman with the tears, washing her feet. She identified with our Lord that he was the Savior and forgave her. Now, Lord, what are you doing here? You're identifying with Martha and Mary, your disciples. You're identifying with them. You're identifying with the up and down. They're off and on. They're with it. They're not. They're hot. They're cold. You're identifying with them. You and I have done that, I'm sure. There's certain things that come, not, I don't mean sobbing, I mean just move you. A tear drops down from your eye when something happens. A tear, not mourning, just awesome about things, wonderful about things. God, you wept. Tears started flowing down your eyes. Now, in the process of that, here's the tears in contrast to the wailing and the grief. Now, are the tears about Lazarus? No. Are the tears about the loss of Mary and Martha's loss of a loved one? No. Are they not over sin? Not over sin? No, no. The Lord Jesus, he dealt with that, Luke and John. Except you believe. Except you repent, you'll perish. Except you believe, you'll die in your sins. There's no tears there. Straight out where it is. No. Ephesians 4:30, the Spirit of God is grieved because of our sin. Grieved and pained. Not tears. We're missing out. So God, what are you doing? You're weeping. As it were, your tears, I should say, are falling from your eyes. We aren't going to get very far. Over to Psalm 81. Psalm 81. In Psalm 81, you recall, if I can, remember we shared this the other day, but I want to go directly to his wonderful, this is in the sanctuary, remember, in prayer meeting, in the sanctuary. Verse 10, this is where the psalm was used. Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And verse 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would have none of me. All they had to do was open their mouth. I'm there to be. I am that I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe that you'll never die? Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? I'm standing in front of you. I'm standing in front of a bunch of hypocrites. I'm standing in a bunch of people that are hostile, and I'm troubled with them. But by the way, Mary and Martha, you want me to come and see Lazarus' grave. You're getting a little excited to be able to go. A tear. And they're going to go. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, remember our Lord and his wonderful, he's the God-man. He's perfect God and he's perfect man. He's the God-man in his perfect humanity. Therefore, is he able to save? He's the mediator. A mediator must represent the business and the person. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect mediator. He's God and man. He holds both. He's both. He is the priest, the mediator of all mediators. God, what kind of a mediator are you? Well, I want you to know, I understand God in all of his holiness. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, the God-man. But over here, what do we have? Well, we have the Lord, you're hungry. You're thirsty. You're tired. You slept. You weep. Ah, God, you're like us. That's what the Greeks, remember we shared it last time? The Greeks had a terrible problem with that because God couldn't possibly be that caring, that involved, that understanding about our humanness to do something about it. Mary and Martha and disciples and all who would hear. I told you, I am that I am. I am the resurrection and the life. Here I am. I'm trying to help you understand. And over, well, you're here in Psalm 103. We'll do it for us also. Psalm 103. And you'll notice, please, in Psalm 103, picking up, just get the flavor of it. Great psalm. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. The word pity is intensive. Rolling up your sleeves with great zest. To be attached to be interested, to interest oneself in somebody. The Lord pitieth. He interests himself with people. Mary and Martha, I understand. I am involved. I'm with you. And you could be so much, but I'm going to get you there. Little tears coming down. Wow. And verse 14, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it and is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. It's all over. And you hypocrites, you're missing out. You're playing a game that ends up in death. Wow. I understand. Little heart, I understand. I know what you need. I'm going to help you. Tears. Do you understand, God? I do. Over, if you would, please, on your way. Matthew chapter 8. Picking up, please, if I may, directly in verse 17. 8:17, our Lord, in the light of his power. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah, the prophet, saying himself, this is Isaiah 53, Isaiah himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Wow. He took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Oh God, when you looked at Moses, when Moses came after 80 years old and looking, and here's Egypt and Israel's in a terrible place. God, do you understand? And in Exodus 3 and 6 and 7, I have seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cry. I know their sorrow. I do know. Do you understand? I do. People think I don't, but I do. The trouble is they don't understand what they need to understand. I'm trying to help them get out of the mess they're in, but they don't pay attention. That's troubling. And when people oppose it, it's one thing to just not know and be sort of floating. It's another thing to be aggressively pushing that which is not right. Now, over if you would please, to Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 2. May I pick up in thought, our Lord, aha, you know, our taking our infirmities on your own body in the tree. You took our sicknesses, you took our pain, you took our headache, you took everything there. You did. I did that. Chapter 2, Hebrews, verse 18. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, put to the test, to the proof, he is able to succor them that are tempted. The word to succor them, to run on occasion of a cry. A cry is made. Just think of 911. The cry is made, and they come. That's the word, succor. To run and come to the aid of a cry, of a call. Wow. God, you know. I do. Over to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 15. For we have an high priest, Hebrews 4:15. For we have a high priest which cannot be touched, For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So God, you know. He said, I do know. I want you to know. I gave you all kinds of little clues. God, did you understand being what it is to be a human? I did. I understood it from sinlessness, and I bore every human problem that ever could exist in the fullest extent. We take a little pain. The pain could be this, and we're glad the pain, we stop here. God took pain all the way. He took everything all the way. All the way. He said, I know testing. I know heartache all the way. You don't even know it. I do. He took our infirmities. He's there. And without sin. God, you know. So we get there and we tend to say, well, God, you don't care. God doesn't know. And we picked up the system. We got captured and conquered by the dumb system of the world. And we lose God, we lose the personalness of God, we lose the wonderfulness that God cares. The wonderfulness, if any, God made us, God knows what sin has done to us, we are as flesh, we are as the grass of the field. God, you know what we're like, and God, here you are, caring. Yeah. Not to the bad guys, no. They rob and ruin. So now, God, here we are looking, Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God, are we able to come? We can come. Come all the way there. God, wow. And all we have to do is come. That's right. God, do you care? Absolutely. Absolutely, I do. Do you understand? You're trying to help God understand. I gotta help God. I gotta talk to him. I gotta talk to him another hour and try to help him understand my problem. If you talk to him 25 hours about your problem, you aren't giving him one bit of information. In fact, I suggest you listen to him, and he could give you in 2 minutes about your problem what you don't even know. And he'd solve your problem for you if you just listen to him. But you get all complicated in your world, and you lose it. Wow. Come boldly, fearlessly, frankly, to the throne of grace to find mercy, obtain mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. God, here we are, and we didn't get very far on this wonderful thought, but I hope you got a little bit. He wept, because he's God. He's the God-man. And he knows. He didn't wail. He doesn't need to wail. Not this time. He's going to go into Jerusalem, and that's different. But not now. Not now. It's a very tender moment for the people. And he's concerned. And he's sensitive to it. Wow. Wonderful little things. And Mary and Martha, you are soon to understand what I tried to tell you. You hypocrites, you're going to go and keep on trying to kill me and take me to the cross, which isn't very far away. And by the way, you hypocrites, you're going to go and try to kill Lazarus, aren't you? But you aren't going to get him. I'm not going to let you kill Lazarus. He's walking around till he dies. Wow. Our Father in God, what can we say? Deal with us, help us, educate us, enlighten us. Exercise our little head and heart. God, we're so stupid about everything. Stubborn and stupid. And God, we miss out. We miss out. We fail. We fail to understand your heart. You have sent to Israel. You are giving your whole heart to them. And God, to us, you have placed us in the middle of your heart. Wonder of wonders. God, Spirit of God, Lord, Father, help us. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps we can sing a little different, maybe 408, I think.